kol shehu arug lo gazru. In other words, you're allowed to be tovel in it because the water enters, and therefore it's mutter to go out in it to wear it on Shabbos. There's no iser of hotzah. Vikadamri amravuna chazina lach vasi de lo kaptan alayu. They weren't makpidos. In other words, it's only mutter to carry it on Shabbos if she's not makpedes. My ikka bein hai lishna l'hai lishna. So what's the difference between a lishna kam and a lishna basra? Ikka bein ayu de tenifan. What does tenifan mean? So there are two explanations in the Rishonim. According to the Rosh, it means muzhavos. What means what? The water will get the gold dirty, and therefore she's going to remove them. In other words, she won't take them, she won't wear them into the mikvah, and it would be aser. L'ach lishna, and Rashi says it means they are dirty, right? Doesn't mean they'll get the gold dirty, it means that they themselves are dirty. So what does that mean? That means that she's going to remove them because she doesn't want to get her hair dirty. So l'ach lishna de amrit kol shu arog lo gazru. If you hold like the lishna kama, so then hani nami arog. L'maisa, these are arug, these are woven, and therefore the water penetrates, and it's going to be mutter to be tovel and mutter to wear on Shabbos. Ulach lishna da'amet mishom kpeda, kevin de tenifan, mikbid kapta alayhu. The second lashon would say it's a problem, because there are makpidos, the women are makpidos about these things. Good. Now what's unclear is, what's aser? Right? What's aser? Is it aser to go out on them on Shabbos because lemaisa, you're going to take it off when she's toveles and therefore there's a chashash of hotzah? Or no, is it aser to be toveles in these things because of chatzitza and therefore, of course, also aser to carry it on Shabbos or to wear it on Shabbos lest you'll carry it? So that's what's unclear in the Gemara. According to the Rabos of Shalrashi, it means that it's aser because it's chotetzos. This is a chatzitza. Now, the problem, obviously, with this is that they're refuyen. They are loose, or water can penetrate. And if water could penetrate, so how could you possibly have a problem of chatzitza? It is true that she's makpedes not to be tovelas in it. But if she is tovelas, so then the water will touch her hair, the mikveh water will touch her hair, and it should be a valid chatzitza. And that's exactly what Rashi asks on his Rebbeim. Yes, a number of questions, but the most important question is that it's not shayach a chatzitza, and Rashi at least understood his Rabosav as saying that this is a chatzitza medel raisa. It's not shayach to have a chatzitza, certainly chatzitza medel raisa, if aili b'humaya. So what does the Gemara mean then? The Gemara means that it's aser to wear them on Shabbos. Since she won't want to be tovelis in them, then she might carry them. But of course, it won't be a chatzitza. The Rambam and the Rosh both seem to paskin like Rashi. How do I know that? Because the Rambam and the Rosh only paskin this din in Hilchos Shabbos, not in Hilchos Mikvos. If you learn like Rashi, this halacha has nothing to do with Hilchos Mikvos, because it's simply a din in Hilchos Shabbos. What can't you wear on Shabbos? If you paskin this din in Hilchos Mikvos, so that would indicate that it would be a din in chatzitza like Rabos of Shal Rashi. And the Mechaber also paskin like Rashi and the Rambam and the Rosh. And that's why the Mechaber didn't write anything over here, because it's not nogeya to Hilchos Tvila. It's nogeya to Hilchos Shabbos. However, the Tur paskin like Rabos of Shal Rashi. He therefore brings it over here in Hilchos Nida. It is a little surprising, because, you know, Rashi does seem to thoroughly reject this position, but it's not just the position of the Rebbe Uzzah Rashi, it does seem to be the view of the Ravid as well. Why? Because, again, the Ravid quotes this in the context of Hilchos Nida. However, the Beis Yosef gives two pshatim, two possibilities in understanding the tour, or for that matter, Rebbe Uzzah Shel Rashi. The first explanation is that the tour is, in fact, like Rebbe Uzzah Shel Rashi. It is like the Lishna Basra. He somewhat answers Rashi's questions because he says that only the Lishna Basra is choshish for this and not the Lishna Kama. And therefore, Lamaisa, what comes out is it's going to be aser to be tovel wearing these things, even though they're refuyim, if they're mushavim or metunafim. He brings both possibilities because she's makfedes lasiram kishetovelas. So Lamaisa, the Torah is paskening again, like Rebbe Uzzah Shel Rashi, that you have such things that are refuyin, that are not ma'akev biasmayim, but at the same time are a chatzitza. That's the psak of the Torah. Now, it's hard to understand this idea that you could have a chatzitza even though water penetrates. One possibility that Shmuel and Dovi suggested yesterday is that perhaps this relates to the machlokas that we have been discussing, the chakira, about the nature of chatzitzos. If you see chatzitzos as a din, it's not about ikov mayim in the sense of the part of the body that's being obstructed by the chatzitza is kilu outside of the mikvah. It's a din. It's a din. So then, perhaps, again, it's still hard to understand, but you could relate to Rebbe Uzzah Shel Rashi. Whereas Rashi, you could say, is Lashitaso, that the idea of a chatzitza is that the part covered by the chatzitza is kilu tzchutz l'mayim, because it's not coming in contact with the mayim. So memela, it's inconceivable that something that's rafoi would be a chatzitza. If that's right, then it's not eis gehalten in the Torah, according to our cheshbon. But that's one possibility of looking at it. And that's the first pshat in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is basically saying the reason why the Torah is choshesh for Rebbe Uzzah Shel Rashi is because if you could answer most of his kashas on his Rebbe Uzzah. The second pshat in the Beis Yosef, Bidasa Tur, is that even the Rebbe Uzzah Shel Rashi only asered because when they're mushavos or miluchlachos by the gold, so the lichluch, the dirt, will somehow or another get onto her hair and cause a regular chatzitza. At least that's what the Lishna Basra holds. In other words, we're dealing with a standard chatzitza. Now, the obvious problem is, then, what does the Lishna Kama hold? Because once you're going to say that when you're toveles in these head apparatuses that make your hair dirty, so they actually make your hair dirty, so why would the Lishna Kama and the Gemara be mekel? So the Beis Yosef says that a very interesting theory, you have a type of lo plug lakula, since most things that are arug aren't chotzeitz, so they didn't aser even when it is chotzeitz. Now this isn't a lo plug, because adarab, it's the opposite. In other words, I would have said that the lo plug is, they said, anything that's miat umakbet is chotzeitz. This is almost a exception to the rule. But they wanted to, apparently, make simple rules, which, without, or statements, you know, something that they could put up on the mikvah walls, you know, anything that's arug is not chotzeitz, and even though by saying that statement, you know, 1% of the time that would lead to situations of chatzitzos, since they're only chatzitzos midirabanan, they were makel, something along those lines. Yeah?
If we're afraid of something getting, it's a gzira that something might get onto her hair and then create a chatitza.
Yes.
Don't we say by definition it's gzira and gzira? Meaning that's resulting in
well, I don't know if it's a gzira or gzira. I think it could be that these things happens automatically.
When you, it's not a chash. It's like
I think it sounds that way. Yeah. Yeah. That these things, let's say, if your hair, you know, hair thing is dirty, so it's going to make your hair dirty when you go in the water. The Rambah is, so again, if you take the second Lishna in the Beis Yosef, second interpretation, so then we don't have this radical Chiddush, this concept that you could have Chatzitzos even for Dvarim Refuyim. There's no basis for that idea. The Rambah is machmir for the Rabbos Shel Rashi and the Lishna Vasa and the Gemara. It seems he understood it like the first explanation of the Beis Yosef, because he didn't give any explanation. In other words, it's aser even when they're refuyin, and therefore it's aser if they're musavin or metunafin, because you're makbid la siram kishetovlos. So that seems to be the vart of the Ramah. Now the Sidrei Tara over here, Sif Katan Yud Gimel, it's also quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva, asks that if that's true, this would contradict the Ramah in a number of other places in our Siman. For example, Sif Memvav, the Shulchan Aruch writes that you're allowed to be toveles in loose clothing. Why? Because loose clothing doesn't prevent water from touching her entire body. And over there, one would have imagined that she's makpedes lahasiram kishehi toveles. Right? You don't want your clothing to get wet. And still, we say that since it's loose, it's okay. Or from Sif Chav Gimel says that if you have a ring that's very loose, so you could be toveles in such a ring. And all that seems to go against the psak of the Ramah over here that understands that the Rabboso Shel Rashi kipshuto aser even varm refuyin. So how do we explain that? And the truth is, it's not just that it's against the Shulchan Aruch, but it's also against the Tosefta for that matter, right? The Tosefta says that, again, the source for Sif Chav Gimel, that a tabas refuya is okay. And why should that be? So the Sidrei Tara answers that we're actually talking about begadim she'ena makpedes aleihem when she's tovelas. So you could say, well, I understand that makes sense for a ring, right? A ring, so yeah, lots of people don't care if they bathe in their ring. Why, what, you know, doesn't hurt the ring to go swimming in the ring. But how could you say that about clothing? But the answer is actually no, that's what's going on over there, right? The Gemara over there, the makor for that halacha later on is the Gemara in Beitza that we talked about last siman, that nida ma'aremes v'tovelas b'vigadeha, right? In other words, even though it's aser, should otherwise be aser litvol, that's a way to be tovelas kalim. So you see, it's mutter to do harama. In other words, we're talking about a case where ena makpedes. And even though, let's say, we paskin like the Ravid that if you're sometimes makbid, it's always a problem, but we don't combine that with that chumra the Ravid with davar rafoi. So basically, what comes out bottom line, according to the Ramah, as understood by the Sidrei Tara, the answer is very simple. Anything that's loose, that you're not makbid about b'shas tvila, like a ring, so that's no problem. You could wear that b'shas tvila. If you are makbid about it, b'shas tvila, like these, these things that you put in your hair that get ruined when touched by the water, because the gold gets tarnished or something like that, so then it is a problem. That's the rule. That's what comes out, l'maisa, according to the Sidrei Tara, as understood in understanding the Ramah. Yes.
Where is the hakdara for this sheet? I mean, Rosh Hashanah / the Ramah, of things which are shaykh enough to tevila, the hakbara becomes a chatzitza. Meaning, you can't just say that something which, you know, like she's in the mikvah and there's like a sign which is upside down. Like that sign which is upside down, she's mocked about it being upside down, but it doesn't have anything to do with
it. Well, she's wearing it. The point is, anything that a person is wearing that's on their body, covering their body, that you don't want it to be there, you're makbid to remove it. Like this beret that's made out of gold, and it's going to get ruined, right? So she wants it off. She doesn't want it here. It happens to be, it's a loose beret, so the water is still going to cover her. But Lamayi says she doesn't want it here, so that's a chatzitza. That's what Rav Yosef Shel Rashi learned.
I'm not saying that it doesn't sound mistabe, that things on her goof should be the things which are chatzitza, but like, where would that meaning, Lamayi, you would still need a makor for such a definition, no?
You do need a makor. It's, and as we noted before, it is very difficult to understand how this could be true, especially on a level of deraisa. It's not 100% clear that Rav Yosef Shel Rashi held this was true mideraisa, but it does sound like that. At least that's the way Rashi understood them. Again, it's difficult. Perhaps the answer relates back to looking at chatzitzos as a din. So it still has to be on her. She has to be wearing it. But even though it's rafoi and therefore it's not ma'akev bias mayim, it has a din of a chatzitza. You see, you're assuming that chatzitza is only shayach to something that prevents water from touching her.
No, I'm saying if it prevents water from touching her, I know where my hagdara comes from.
Yeah, so the hagdara would have to be something that she's wearing, or that's on her, that's touching her, at the very least. Again, it's a massive chiddush. Nobody is going to deny that. Yes?
According to the Sidri Tara, then the Rav Yosef Shel Rashi would have a different definition of kapeda than the Raidik, right? Because now we're saying it's kapeda b'shas.
Yeah. Tefillah. Right, the standard definition of kapeda. Correct. Now, the Pesach Tshuva does not like this approach of the Sidri Tara because most clothing are covering most of her body. So what difference does it make that she's not makpedes? Right? In other words, what's the pshat in the Shulchan Aruch? Why is it okay to be tovelis and loose clothing? Because you're not makpedes. Okay, who says they're not makpedes? We know that eno makbid is equivalent to rov. Now, the truth is, he's making a jump over here. In other words, the Pesach Tshuva is assuming that the chumra of Rav Yosef Shel Rashi is shayach whether it's miyud ha-makbid or rov ve'eno makbid. In both cases, we would be choshesh even though it's aili b'mayim. Now, that's not obvious. You could say that there are only choshesh for miyud ha-makbid. Right? Especially, there's a svar l'chalik, like we said, perhaps the reason why that they work differently. One is bittul, one isn't. But that's his assumption. His assumption is that just like they would be makbid, Rav Yosef Shel Rashi can be makbid for miyut hamakbid, that's rafoi, so too they should be machmir for rov ve'eno makbid for rafoi, and clothing are rov ve'eno makbid, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch that says that you're allowed to be tovelis in your clothing if they're loose, even though they're covering most of your body, is against Rashi.
I don't understand how that translates to Rosh Hashanah makbid. Meaning,
how does the Pesach Tshuva make this assumption?
Meaning,
I agree, it's a questionable assumption.
Meaning, the logic of the question answer, I don't think I'm understanding. Meaning, like
the logic is like this: Rav Yosef Shel Rashi say you can't wear a hairpiece. The hairpiece is, when the hairpiece is miyut umakbid, even if it's rafoi, right? Obviously, that would only be derabanan, because it's miyut umakbid. It's not going to be worse than if it actually prevents bias mayim, but it's also considered a chatzitza. So just like chazal were misakein on miyut hamakbid, that's rafoi.
So roshein umakbid should also be
so they also should have been misakein on rov ve'eno makbid, that's rafoi. Right. In other words, if the way the Pesach Tshuva is looking at it is that if you think rafoi is a chatzitza, so it should be treated equally to other chatzitzos, and there's no reason to be mechalik. What we were saying before is maybe there is a reason to be mechalik, that rafoi isn't the same as every other chatzitza, even according to Rav Yosef Shel Rashi. Right? There is one other pshat quoted by the Prisha. It's also cited by the Pischei Tshuva. It's a different pshat in the Tur and the Ramah. The Tur and the Ramah don't actually hold Rabosav Shel Rashi at all. That was totally schlugged up. They hold of something else, that you shouldn't be gozer in Muzhavim or Mitunafim, because you might not be Tovelas Yafa. In other words, this has nothing to do with Rafui. The problem is, if you're afraid that your jewelry or whatever, your hairband is going to get ruined by going into the water, so you might not do a good tefillah. Or if you're afraid of your hair getting dirty, you might not do a good tefillah. And that's the psak of the Levush as well. So according to that, then again, this halacha in our sif has nothing to do with Rabbi Yosef Shel Rashi at all. So we have here a number of ways to understand the Tur and the Ramah's psak. Now Lamaisa probably won't make so much of a difference because we're going to be machmir anyway al sif aleph, right? As you remember, last time we pointed out that we assume that we're choshish for the interpretation of sif aleph as referring to davar rafoi. Now, it will be mitzad minag then, not dina de gemara, but lamaisa either way, even if we were to accept the interpretation of the levosh and the pischei tshuva and the prisha that the Ramah is not talking about Rabbi Yosef Shel Rashi at all, that wouldn't mean we would allow a person to be tovelis in something rafoi. It just, we would say that you shouldn't do it al sif aleph, not sif, sif dalet. Okay.
But
yes.
That's not according to Rashi, it's not quoted at all. So you could argue that it's not within the.
No, but that's what sif aleph says. Sif aleph instructs us practically, as we said, two different things. Number one is miyat hamakbid l'chatchila, you shouldn't be tovelas. With the chatzitza, that's miyat chain hamakbid. And number two is l'chatchila, you should be tovelas in something rafui.
That's the shaydura, or that's just
yeah, that's what the Ramah is paskening. Sif aleph.
I mean, it's not so clear what it's talking about. That's something rough. We were just saying
that's what we talked about last time in Shir. We gave the machloka sachron between the sedre tara and the lush. Right. So we said halacha maisa last time that we're machmir for both interpretations of the Ramah. You're right. It's not clear, but I'm saying if hashadas is lachi, then even if you were to adopt the lenient reading of the pischei tshuva levush prisha in sif dalid, it would still be Asir L'chatchila, I'm saying, Al Tzif Aleph. That's all I'm saying.
If we're not doing like the Sefer Torah, if we're doing the Sefer Torah, then you're fine.
Yeah. Okay. Sif Hey. So, let's begin with Shitas Rashi here. We alluded to it last time. And then we'll talk about the Shita of the Gaonim. According to Rashi, the din of Rabbi Yitzchak, namely Rubo Makbid Midoraisa, Rubo Ve'eno Makbid, and Miru Makbid Midorabanan, that din, that halachal Moshe Misinai, was only said with respect to hair, but not with respect to the body. Now the truth is that if you actually read the Gemara, it's very meduyuk that way in the Gemara, because what did the Gemara say? Right, the Gemara is trying to figure out where do we find a halachal Moshe Misinai in the realm of Tvila. So the Gemara says, you need it for Seir, Ulcha de Rabba Ravuna, de Rabba Ravuna, Nimachas Kshura Chotzetzes, Shalosh Einan Chotzetzos, Shtai Mini Yodea. One, hair when tied up, because it's very tight, creates a chatzitza. Three, whenever you tie up three hairs, it's going to be looser. It's not a chatzitza. Two, I don't know. So that's where you need a halacha l'moshe misinai. The Gemara asks, "Aronami deraisahu." You don't need a halacha for that. It's a pasuk or a drasha. D'tanya v'rachatz is called b'saro. Es atafel b'saro v'zeu seir. So the Gemara answers, "You're right. Ki asai hilchasa l'ruba umiyuta." When do we need the halacha of the halacha l'moshe misinai? With respect to Rav and Miut, the din of Rav Yitzchak, right? Now, the Gemara didn't say, Ella ki asai hilchasa l'rubo umiyuto. So, Rashi says, it sounds like we're continuing with what we just said, namely, it's talking about Seir, right? The Gemara says, ki yitzra chelchasa l'seyar. And the Gemara continues, ki asa chelchasa l'rubo ulemiyuto. If it's an Ella, so then I would say we got rid of our answer of Seyar. But since it doesn't say Ella, so we're continuing with the answer of Seyar. So that means that this din of Rabbi Yitzchak, namely Rubo Makbid is Chotzis Midaraisa, and Rubo Ve'eno Makbid, or Miyodu Makbid is Derabanan, that's said about hair. Well, if that is said only about hair, that leaves open the question of what's the halacha with respect to the rest of the body. What is the din? What's the din of a chalitza on your arm? We know it's not Rabbi Yitzchak, but what is it? The Gemara doesn't say. So what would you say? So this is unclear. The Beis Yosef assumes that according to Rashi, the Nira Midvarav, the Bisaro Dafkahu de Mifalginan Bachi, Aval Bivsaro Afilu Miut Sheino Makbir Chotez. Wow. So according to Rashi, if you have a dot on your arm that you don't care at all about, tiny little dot, miyot ve'eno makbid, that is chotzitz. It's not a valid tefillah mederaisa. That's also the Havana that Tosfos had in Rashi. Now, l'chora, what that indicates is the following. Lule, the halach l'moshe mi-Sinai, I would have said that any chatzitza kol shehu is posel, even if it's eno makbid. In other words, even though we said before the svar in Rashi is that eno makbid is batal to the guf, the pshat is, in that Rashi, is that that's the lamdus, that's the svara of the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. But it's not an independent svara. Without the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, so I would say, very simply, v'achatz es kol b'saro b'mayim, the water must touch every part of your body in a very literal sense. And if there's a sticky thing on my arm that's preventing the water from touching my arm, that's not kol b'saro. Very simple. That's what I would assume. And comes along the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai and says, ah, with respect to hair, we have a kula. Right? Halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. This is our coming lahakel. That might be true regardless. It's also an interesting question. And it's teaching me this kula. And it's teaching me that by hair we follow saro, by we follow rubo and makbid, but shar gufo, any form of chatzitza is sufficient to be ma'akev the tefillah. Now, if you take a look at the Sefer HaPardes and other svarim from the Beis Medrash of Rashi, you'll see that they have a slightly different explanation in Rashi than the Beis Yosef did. They write, in explaining Rashi, v'shar kol davar hanimtza bivsara samoch litvila im makpedes bo tzricha lachov v'litvol pam shnia im lav also latvila umutaris labaila. Meaning to say, when it comes to gufa, if you're makbid, even if it's a miyot, then it's a problem. Midiraisa. But if you're not makbid, it's going to be okay. In other words, the svara of bitul gufa when you're not makbid is in fact a svara midiraisa. It's not just a explanation for the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. It's a independently valid svara. So what's the vart, the chiddush of the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, the kula of the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai is that when you're makbid, but it's only a miut, in that case, on se'ar, it's okay. On the rest of the body, it would still be a chatzitza. So according to this version of Rashi, it turns out that without the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, I would have said that chatzitza is a kol shehu if you're makbid. And kamash v'lan, the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that on your hair, only if it's rubo u'makbid, that it's a chatzitza. So again, this brings us back to that discussion we had on the first day as to how to understand the role of bittel, right? Shmuel will like the Beis Yosef's understanding of Rashi because he thought that the Svar of Bittel doesn't make so much sense anyway. So it makes sense to naturally think it doesn't apply. Anyway, that's what this Sefer Pardes and other Svarim, other Rishonim, Beis Midrash Shel Rashi have understand Rashi. There is, by the way, a third Havana of Rashi in the Rishonim. The Ritva understood that Rashi held like the Gaonim, that if there's a Chatzitza on Rov Sa'ara and she's Makpedes, even though some total on her body it's Miut, then it's a Chatzitza. And that's why Rashi is focusing on Sa'ara, saying Sa'ara alone is counted towards Rov Umakbid. So that's a third explanation of Rashi. Now, all three explanations, in truth, think that we treat hair differently, and we have to explain why that would be. So this brings us to the machlokes between the Gaonim and the Rambam. The Rambam writes, "Shtei se'aros o yaser shahayukshurin ke'achas kasher echad einan chotetzin neshemayim boim behen v'sar achas shenikshur chotetzas v'ushia makbid ala alalena makbid ala also la tefila." Adjati rov sa'aro kasher nima b'famachas kaze horu hagaonim. In other words, if most of your hair is tied up in a way that prevents bias mayim, like one strand at a time, so then it's a chatzitza. Midiraisa virali, says the Rambam, shesaro shel adam kegufa hu chashav. No, this is wrong. I think that your se'ar is just like the rest of your body, linen tefillah. They know kiguf b'fnei atzmo. We don't look at it as a independent guf. Shenemar, rov ha-se'ar. Ela, afal pi, shekol se'ar, rosh ha-kosher, nima, im eino makbid alav, also lo tefillah, elim kenit starif, l'chot etzacher, agufo. In other words, the hair contributes towards the rest of the body to create rov, or miut, but it's not independent. V'nimtza kol rov gufo k'moshe b'yarnu. Good. That's the view of the Rambam. Derive it over here, likes the Gaonim. So what's the pshat? What is the pshat in this view of the Gaonim? In other words, the Rambam seems to make more sense. Why would you look at your hair independently of everything else? If we say rove, so it should be rove of your body, and since we include your hair as your body, so it should be rove of the total. Why would you say rove of your hair is independent of rove of your body? That's the question that we have to answer to explain the sheet of the Gonim. Look at the gra over here, Sifkat Yud Aleph. Rove Sarah. Ken kasaram shema gaonim, v'hu chalak aleim. V'kasad rosh nechshav im agof, uv'rov agof dafka. V'arayv et hiskim v'asagos l'dever gaonim, v'chein da'ashar poskim. So almost all the poskim disagree with the Rambam. V'nirah li raya l'dvarim. I have a raya for the sheet of the gaonim, against the Rambam. Mimash kasa v'valakama, pei beis medalof, do'raisa liyune dilma mikdar. We actually mentioned this gemara last time, that mid'raisa you have to do iyun. Why? Maybe your hair is knotted. Umiktar enu ala b'rosh. The chash of knots is only in hair, right? Your arm can't get knotted up. U'de'araisa ba'inan rovu makbid. We know that mid'araisa you need rovu makbid for it to be a chatzitza. V'iyasha lomar. So what does that mean? That it must be a situation where you could have a chatzitza midaraisa just with your seyar. Because we're saying midaraisa, you need to do iyun. Why do you need to do iyun midaraisa? Lest there be a chatzitza. Right? You need to do a iyun midaraisa lest there be a chatzitza. So therefore, you could see. And what chatzitza are we concerned about with respect to iyun? What's the goal of iyun? The Gemara said, Dilma Mikdar Lahu. Right? The concern is knots. You can't say like the Rambam, it means the hair is knotted in conjunction with the jelly on the rest of your body. because it's the Gemara in Bava Kamma emphasizes that the need for Eon is Dilma Miktar Lahu. So that's what the Gemara is saying. You can't read it that way. Yesh Shalomar Bit Starfos Haguf Da Ka Amar Inami Mos. Second answer to the Gemara. Mechlal De Reisha Miktar Lachud. The Gemara over there in Bava Kamma says two reasons why you need Eon. One is Miktar, two is Mos. So now, Mos is Shaykh on the body. Miktar isn't Shaykh on the body. The first answer says that you need Eon Midaraisa because of concern of knots. Knots alone. Knots alone could be posel the Tefillah Midaraisa. That only makes sense if you learn like the Gaonim. So that's the Raya for the Gaonim. We said last time a different point, related point, that Raya works a little better for the Gaonim anyway, because how could you ever imagine a situation where you have a chatzitza on the roof of your body that you're makbid about without noticing? But this is a different Raya, right? This is a more straightforward Raya in terms of the Lashon. The Gemara sounds like you could have a chatzitza midaraisa with knots alone, right? Which only makes sense if you hold like the Gaonim. Okay, so that's a beautiful Raya to the Gaonim for the Gemara Bava Kamma. However, it doesn't tell you why the position of the Gaonim makes any sense. What's the svara of the Gaonim? So l'chora, it all comes back to how you read that Gemara, the Gemara Erevin and Sukkah and the like. Right? The Gemara says, Saro nami midoraisa, detanya, rachat es kol bisaro, es hatafel bisaro, v'zeu seyar. In other words, without that drasha, what would I have thought? Does your hair have to go into the mikvah? No, leave your hair out of the mikvah. Why would I have thought your hair doesn't have to go into the mikvah? Because hair is not a part of your body in the same way as your toes and your fingers are part of your body. Lamashal. There's no din of chovel with your hair. Right? If I go ahead, you know, the reason why you're allowed to get a haircut is not a raya that chavala bershus is mutter. Right? So hair are an, you know, appendage to your body. They're associated, they're attached to your body. But, and this is true in a number of halachos, they're not integrated, they're not part of your body like all the rest of your body. So that being the case, without a drasha, I would have thought that they don't even have to go to the mikvah at all. Kamash malan the drasha, v'rachat es kol bisaro, es hatafel bisaro, v'zeu sear. What is the kamash malan? The Rambam understood that the kamash malan is that your hair is part of your body, at least l'inyan tevila. It's no different from your arms and your legs and your toes. So therefore, it's going to contribute towards the robe just like any other part. So if 51% of your hair has chatzitzos and 51% of your body has chatzitzos, then you're stuck. But if 51% of your hair has chatzitzos and 2% of your body doesn't have chatzitzos, unless you have really a lot of hair, you'll be okay. That's what the Rambam says. And that's the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam's Lashon is virali. Adam kigufo huchashav linyan tefila. At least linyan tefila. Not necessarily linyan kol tarkula, like we said. Still not going to be chovel. But linyan tefila, the gzeres hakasav is teaching me that it's kigufo huchashav. What do the Gaonim say? The Gaonim disagree. The Gaonim say, kamash malan, the drasha, that even though it's still tafel ibsaro, even though it's not the same as your body, it still requires tefillah. This too requires tefillah. What requires tefillah? Your body and your hair. But it's not the same thing. They're not integrated. It's still not part of your body. Not even linyan tefillah. So memela, it will have its own count. It'll have its own count. And therefore, if rov of your seyar is chatzitzad plus it's makbid, then the tefillah is going to be invalid because it's not part of your body, and therefore it should be looked at as independently in terms of calculating chatzitos. Oh, so that explains the sheet of the Gaonim. Now, we mentioned last time, this doesn't explain, this is different than the Meiri's fascinating interpretation of the Shita of the Gaonim. Meiri says, this is Meiri, Chidush HaMeiri and Erev, and on that Gemara, he has a very fascinating Shita. He says that the Pshat is that the Gaonim held, we look at each Aver independently. In other words, hair, why should hair be different? Right? My interpretation was that hair is different. But he says, no, why should hair be different? You know, the Rambam was right. The hair is integrated. So if you have rove of hair, it's a problem. So who didn't? If you have rove of your arm, it's a problem. But that shita, as fascinating as it is definitely not quoted lahalacha. But we do accept the opinion of the Gaonim and the Shulchan Aruch. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch writes that if there's a knot in a majority of your hairs, so, and your machbid, so the tefillah is invalid midaraisa. Now there's a technical problem here that some of you, I think, alluded to last time, which is that if I went ahead and tied a knot in all of my hairs, unless I have really, really short hair, in which case tying that knot is going to be really hard. So if I tie a knot in all of my hairs, it is still going to be the case that the vast majority of my hair is not knotted. So why does the Shulchan Aruch say, according to Gaonim, if most of my hairs are knotted, it's a problem? It's only creates a chatzitza on a small portion of my hair. So the Avnei Nezer is bothered by this question. He says, in a chanami, we're talking about, when the Shulchan Aruch says, rove of your hair is knotted, it means a majority of each individual hair is knotted. In other words, you need a knot on top of a knot on top of a knot. You need a lot of knots. The Badei Shulchan points out this is kasha b'metzias, but it's definitely the simplest answer. Some other achronim are bothered by this question and try to give different answers, though none of them are particularly satisfying. The Sfas Emes on Erevin over there, Dalet Mabei, says it has to be that we're talking about a case where the knot is so close to the root that it prevents the water from touching the head. First of all, that's also kashav metzias, and I'm not sure why it's important. That's the only important part of the hair. That's where it's yonig from. I don't know. The Badei Shulchan also didn't understand what this Sfas Emes was saying. The Chut HaShani basically bites the bullet without explaining it and says, you see from here that if a majority of the hairs have a chatzitza, even if the hairs are only covering even if the chatzitzas are only covering a small portion of the hair, that is a problem. That's chotzeitz. Mechatesi? I don't know, but it does sound that way. Maybe it relates to it being tafel absara or the like. Now, if you accept that, a number of chumras might come out. We'll talk about those in one moment. The Prisha, Chav Gimel, has a suffix, Bedas HaGaonim. According to Gaonim, that we look at hair on its own, do we say that only about head hair? Or maybe any makom kinos sear should be looked at on its own. So let's say Sar Beis HaShachi. If you had a majority of your Sar Beis HaShachi knotted up, but a majority of your total hair is not knotted, what's the din? Maybe the Gaonim or Machmir for each Makom Kinos Seyar. So the priest is unsure about this. The Sidrei Taras of Katan Yud Zayin says, Ein Adaver Achreya, the Tiferes L'Moshe is Machmir. Now, if you follow these Machmir views, so then, I thought it's difficult what we say in the halacha. The halacha is that Sar Beis HaShachi is not a chatzitza because she's not makpedas, right? And we talk about the different types of hairs, pubic hair and the like. Are you makped? Are you not? Are you married? Are you single? Now, if you held that a majority of, let's say, the Sar Beis HaShachi is a problem, so even though you're not makbid, but it's rubo ve'eno makbid, and it should be a problem. The Shulchan Aruch implies that it's okay, right? As long as you're not makbid, let's say, about tzar beis hashachi, even if it's all knotted up and covered with sweat or whatever, grime, it's not a chatzitza because you're not makbid. But if the chumra of the prisha is right, that you look at each makom kina seir on its own, so it should be a problem. So I thought there was a raya lahakel. We will get a different raya lahakel. He was medayikit from the fact that there's only one drasha for seir, like the Ran points out. It's the Ran. The Ran's quoted by the Beis Yosef, the Ran and Shvuos, right? The timon shall gaonim desfir lahu de islan tre kri. Chad l'saro v'chad l'basaro kol chad v'chad ba'apei nafshei. But there's no separate pasuk for each and every makom kina seir. So therefore you'd have to look at all makom seir together, right? Why would you look at it as going on each makom kina seir? So that's what Rei Willig's Raya Lahakel. But many of the, some of the contemporary poskim are machmir for the shayla, like the Chut HaShani. So he writes, for example, a woman has to be very careful if she gets her eyebrows waxed. Why? Let's say on the day of the tefillah. Because there might be residual wax on her eyebrows, covering most of her eyebrows. When you get your eyebrows waxed, you're actually using the wax as a form of hair removal. You don't want to take off all your eyebrows, but he's concerned that there'll be residual wax on the parts of your eyebrows that remain. And it's very easy to have rove of your eyebrows covered with this residual wax, and therefore you have to be careful not to wax your eyebrows around the time they're going to go to the mikvah. That's what he says. Rav Avadya's Mako on that shaila says it's a sfeik sfeika. Maybe you don't pass them like the Ronim, maybe there isn't wax. Maybe we don't pass them like that Prisha. Prisha himself was misupik. Another place where I saw some poskim or machmir based off of this chumra from the Prisha is some say you shouldn't use stick deodorant on the day of the tefillah. Why? At least if there's some hair there. And oftentimes there is some, even if she shaves. Because again, the stick deodorant could leave over some residual, it could cover, it's sticky, it could cover rove seyar in your armpit, and even if you're not makbid, it would be a chatzitza midrabanan, right? If you hold like the pashtos that we only look at all of your hair, then it won't be a problem. You don't have to be so worried about it, because even if it happened, it would be miyot she'eno makbid. But if you're choshesh for this chumra of the prisha that each makom kina seir is looked at on its own, so then, again, it's not vadai, because of course she is going to bathe herself and wash herself very carefully, but the deodorant could be sticky and the like. So that's why I said some of the poskim based off of this chumrar machmir on certain types of activities around the time of tefillah, lest it lead to chatzitzos that are ma'akev. Yeah, Tyler.
When we say makom kina seir, is that only if there's seir there, or is it the makom there?
No, I think if there's no seir there, she shaved her armpits and there's zero seir, so then there's no seir, so that's goof, right? That's her body, that's her skin. But if she shaved 3 days ago or 2 days ago, and now there is a little bit of seir, so then that would be, that's a situation where you could easily have most of it covered with the deodorant.
So the Chut HaShani's chumra is only if the wax is on the hair that's left over?
That's what my assumption was. I don't know the likelihood of that happening. I've never had my eyebrows waxed. But again, some of the contemporary books seem to be very worried about this. So I guess apparently it's not unlikely, they're assuming, for there to be residual wax left on the hair that remains.
But it can't be that they're assuming that it could even be on the...
I don't know. That would be very strange to me. That's your skin. That's not your hair. I understand. That's very, very big chiddush. Somebody who is bald. So you're going to say if they have a chatzitza on their scalp, That's a problem according to the Gaonim?
You do Chabal to your scalp, it's
So, I don't know. I was assuming the way I read it. And their concern is the residual stuff. Yes, Rabbi.
So, the Jewish is wondering, Rabbi, how is he allowed to use the Prisha and the subject of Gaonim as two sacros? It sounds like...
Well, you know, he's going to use as many as he has. You could... No, even if the Gaonim are right, maybe the priest is wrong. As I said, the priest himself is misopek. And even if the priest is right, who says there's anything going to be there left? And if anyway, it's a sfeika on the din de rabbanan. Because it, right? I'm saying you don't even need all this. It's three sfeikos on a din de rabbanan. That's what he's saying. So two sfeikos would be enough, and one suffix would be enough. Here we have three sfeikos on a chatzitz de rabbanan at worst. No. No, but she's not makpid. Oh, you're saying the wax. I was thinking more about the deodorant. I'm not sure if she's makpid. In other words, whatever residual wax is left after she's washed her face and sat in the bath for an hour, I'm not sure she's still makpid about that. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that there's anything left, but Zalzain that there is something left. I'm not sure, but you're right, maybe. I mean, it's not something that's going to be so noticeable, whatever's left. Yeah.
Strange question in terms of Mitzias, more likely in terms of men. Isn't it in different Makomos that we identify? Let's say theoretically they're connected by hair. Let's say he has two different Makomos connected, like his two armpits are connected via hair. We still do shear separately? Is it every time Makom is like a hair?
I don't know.
Yeah,
it could be. I don't know. If you look at each place on its own, okay, I don't know. Somebody whose entire body is covered by hair is another way to explain that you could have Rove without holding it. Yeah.
When we say we look at the hair of each area separately, is it the, I guess, the amount of hair that's there right now, or that could potentially be there?
I assume that was his question, Tyler's question. I assume it's the amount of hair that's there now.
So, if you, again, I know this...
Because we're talking about chatzitzos of Seir, not imaginary Seir, right? Actual Seir.
So, I mean, if you have somebody that, you know, unfortunately, had chemotherapy and only has, like, I don't know, like, two hairs on their head, would that be, like, a problem?
In theory, yeah. If a person has very little hair...
It's so like one little thing, and then that could be rogue, and then it would be a problem?
Theoretically, yeah. Could be. Okay. Good. Sif Vav. So here we have fascinating idea of revise. So maybe we'll just introduce that topic in terms of chatzitzos. It comes up several times in our simon, and then we'll talk about the particular fascinating case being discussed. So the Gemara Yevamos, Ein Ches Amud Aleph, says, Nachris Meubereshin is Gaira, Binayin Sarach Tvila. So a non-Jewish woman converts. She doesn't need to do a separate tefillah for her son. The Gemara asks why. V'chitema mishum Reb Yitzchak, Dam Reb Yitzchak, Dvar Toira, Rubo, Umakbid Allah, Chotzeitz, Rubo, Shein Umakbid Allah, Enu Chotzeitz, Barmav Kana, Lo Shanuela Rubo, Ava Kulo Chotzeitz. Here it's Kulo. What does it mean, Kulo? Because the entire fetus is being obstructed from contact with the water by the mother. It's in the womb. So even if the baby is not makbid, that, you know, is probably pretty happy that the mother's there, right? In bad shape if there's a hole in the mother. But still, it's kulo. So that's also interesting, by the way. Maybe we could talk about that. Why is rubo and kulo different? You need to have some contact with the mikvah. So the Gemara answers... Shani Uber Dahainu Revise. What does Revise mean? Growth? It's natural. Rashi says Vacha Kapit Vachaziza. Yeah. So the simple way to understand it is that it's not a chatzitza, it's you. Means that even if we say for other chatzitzos, they're batal to the body, right? Like rov is batal to the body, rov ve'eno makbid. It's batal to the body. It's not you, it's batal to you. Whereas when it's revise, it is you. This isn't a good example, but lamashal, you know what he's going to say, your ear is chotzeitz, you know, because the skin, you know, it's not going to... No, it's part of you, it's not... So anything that's revise, that's part of your growth, is you. And the chiddush is, we look at the womb, or the mother's body, as revise for this fetus. And therefore the mikvah, the fetus, did actually go into the mikvah. Okay, so that's Hilchos Geiros. But what does that have to do with us? So this idea is brought up in a very interesting discussion in the Rishonim. Apparently these things seem to have been quite common. That there would be like dreadlocks made by Shadim. So I don't know what these are. Though I will tell you that we've had a couple of kids. Now, no Shadim have touched my kids, so they can't be the same thing. But these... My kids like wake up in the morning once. It's when they have like a little hair, and like they have these spikes sticking out of their head that like seem to be like a bunch of hairs twisted together, sticking up. And they go to sleep without them, and they wake up with them, with these spikes. So it's probably something like that. Anyway, they have lots of different names, by the way, Yelksh and Flotteteers and other things. Anyway, so somebody has one of these things, these spikes, we'll call them spikes. So what's the problem? So cut it off. No, he can't cut it off. Sakanas nefashos. The Shadim get very upset. I don't know if the Shadim get upset or who gets upset, but the point is that there's a danger to life if you cut them off. So this presents a big problem in terms of chatzitzos. What do we do? So the Or Zeruah addresses this question. He quotes a Rav Yah and says like this. It's okay. We're going to be mekel. Why? Number one, chada, kedeprishus liel, gabe chetz shel mateches. What does that mean? Yeah. So, what does that mean? L'chora means that you're not makpid. And l'chora, what he's saying over here, is that kpeda, as we've seen in other sources thus far, is taloi in makpid l'hasiro. So here, you definitely do not want to remove this thing. Why? Because you'll die if you do. So even though in theory you would love for it not to be here, right? If we asked you, would you rather have this spike or not have this spike, you would definitely rather not have this spike. But you're not makbid lahasiro because you don't want to die, and therefore it's not chotzeitz because you're not makbid. Now, this answer would only help presumably if it's miut. In other words, if the spike is miut, so then we'll say it's miut ve'no makbid, it would be okay. Now this answer, by the way, the first answer, is in the Rav Yah, Nur Zeruah, and others. It's not quoted by the Mordechai, though. Answer number two, visu, dekaimalan, deshloshan nimos hakshuros einan chotzitzos, delome hadik, v'ailu be'maya, v'kol shekein yoser migimel. Now this is what's going on over here. It's like a whole bunch of hairs knotted up together. So we know that when you have multiple hairs knotted together, it's not tight enough to prevent the water from coming in contact with the hair. Great. So that's a really good one. Vafilu im nechalek bein meduvlal lekashur. No, this isn't maybe such a good raya. When you tie a hair in a knot, so then we'll say it's loose if it's three hairs together. But these aren't just tied together. They're miduvlal. V'nidonam kechada chaticha shalevet. Havele balua. V'adif mi beis astarmasi. He says a very important yesod, which is, I have a question for you. Let's say I have a chatzitza in my esophagus or my pancreas or some other body. You know, they put some bolts in there because I broke my leg. So are you going to say that's a problem? No. But don't you need Raila B'as Mayim for Beis Astarim? Answer is that Beis Astarim and is one thing, and there's something that's balua, it's totally inside the cavity of your body. Now we're going to have to define, and we'll do this a little later on, hope, in theory today, when Beis Astarim ends and when balua begins. But what he's saying is, at least what I think he's saying, is that it becomes totally integrated to form a single unit. That's what he compares it to, a chaticha shaleved, right? A piece of cloth. In other words, basically these hairs merge to form a single unit. And then, even though it's true, the inner hairs don't come in contact with water, but that's okay. They're balua at this point, right? In other words, he's sort of saying, mimanafshach, if we're going to use this as knotted up hairs, so it's okay, it's more than, it's a whole bunch of hairs. There's no chatzitza for knotted up hairs if there's a lot of hairs. And if you're going to say, no, this is different, they're super duper tight, packed in together, right? Much tighter than a normal knot. Those shadim, they know how to get the hairs, you know, really tight. So then we'll say it's balua, in which case it's also okay. The adif mi beis astarim, he says it's better than beis astarim. You don't even need raila b'as mayim. And finally, number four, v'su kevan demifani demipnei sakana yafshar legalcham. Since you can't cut them out due to sakana, hainu revise v'lo chaitzi. Very interesting idea, which is that revise is anything that you're concerned about cutting due to sakana, right? Now the nafkamina between number one and number four is that number four, revise, will apply even if it's rubo, right? Even if it's kulo in theory. Even if it's rubo. Number one, we said, is eno makbid, right? But we said eno makbid, if most of your hair is spiked up, so then you're stuck. But if it's revise, then even if it's rove, it'll be okay. That's what he says. Oh, those are the four answers. I'm sorry?
I thought we only had three answers.
You didn't look at the three answers. Number one is eno makbid. Number two is shalosh eno chatzitzos. Number three is, even if we're going to say that meduvlal is tighter than knotted, it's going to be balua. And number four is revise. Now, this idea, by the way, number four, that revise is not just natural growth, but anything for which there's a sakana is something that we'll see the poskim quote in a number of contexts. For example, Rabbi Kiva Eger says that there's room to be makel for a pessary, where this is, we'll discuss the details a little later on, but this is like a ring that's placed to prevent her pelvis collapse. And if it's dangerous to remove this pessary, this ring that's holding things up, so then it is, even if you're going to see it as machbid, and it's beis astarim, but you could be makel because it's revise, because if you took it off, you would die. Good. So that you see that idea that anything that is dangerous is now revise, is already in these rishonim. Now, so I remember the first time I learned this, we were joking about dreadlocks, but we know, would dreadlocks be a chatzitza? But apparently, somebody wanted to come to convert, and she had dreadlocks, and she really didn't want to take off her dreadlocks, cut them off, because it takes years to grow dreadlocks, and so she asked the shaila, could she convert? So Rabbi Reese wrote a tshuva to her, and I think it's published in one of the Kol Tzvis, I think. Anyway, in this tshuva, he argues that it's okay. Now, I didn't understand a lot of his arguments, so I'll just mention some of the interesting questions that came up in terms of how to understand it. But one thing he writes, Kan kanira shayachim kol atamim shalom Mordechai. Sha'arei, number one, haderach she'osim dreadlocks, he shemifaltim ba'akum et ha'seyar ha'isha l'kama taltalim nifradim ad mahad kituva v'shuv lo yispardu ha'saros me'ataltalim shelahem. So he's basically trying to, this is, apply what we would call reason number three. So I didn't think that made any sense, because the idea is that, like we said, that it becomes one chaticha shalevet, is what he compared it to, right? It merges into a single thing. It's like valua. It's better than beis hasdarim, right? We don't look at them as direct strands. Now, meheicha tesi, that's what's happening over here. The shadim can do this, like, super tight knots that, like, cause us to view the hair as fused into one hair. Meheicha tesi, that just because a person ties up their hair very tightly, that they fused such that they're seen as balua. They're not so tight. They're mahad kituva, I agree. And he says, mahad kituva v'shuv lo yispardu. Okay, naniach. But who says that means they've become a single chaticha? Another thing he said was that kevan shekach nolda b'inyan sheyesh tzorach b'dreadlocks. In other words, if you have a certain type of hair, you need dreadlocks. So then it's revise. So also, this is not at all clear. First of all, like, you could have that type of hair and not you get dreadlocks. You could have short hair. Again, you know, maybe this type of hair is very hard to not get knotted up without putting into dreadlocks. I agree. But to say that's revise, right, and especially like we saw that we've shown him say revise means sakana. Rav Moshe says even you can't apply revise if it's suffix sakana, it's only if it's vadai sakana. There's even if you wouldn't take it off because of you're afraid you'll die. If it's not vade sakan, it's not revise. And this isn't a tzorach. You don't have to have your hair that way. And then he said, here it's worse, because she's going to be... anyway, I don't know. He assumed the metzias is that you can't untie dreadlocks. That was his whole assumption in this. So, I'm not an expert, but I did an internet search, and it looks like you can untie dreadlocks. Maybe they're different types. I don't know. So if I were wanted to be Mako on this, I would have said a much simpler kula, which is that this is multiple hairs being knotted together, right? And that's it. Yeah, but if you're going to say it's worse, then you still can't. Maybe it's in between. In other words, but right, mechatesi. These are hairs that are knotted. You tie them up. So mechatesi. I don't know if I would be mako, but if I were to be mako, I would have just said that's the reason to be mako. Then he says something else. He says, but one second, her whole hair is tied up, so it's kulo. It's not rove. So how does it work? I didn't understand that either, because even if you assume no hairs are sticking out, but the outside of her hair is covered. The Gemara Yevamos means, right, there's still some exposure of hair to water. So I wasn't sure why he was bothered by this. Anyway, but that's what he said. We're out of time. There's an interesting Briska Rav on the Rambam, Mikvaos Perk Base, about coal here and the like, but we don't have time to get into it. I guess one last point about Revise from Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe, we said before that you see from this these Rishonim that anything that's dangerous we're going to treat as Revise. So Rav Moshe was asked a question, what about a woman who can't get water in her ear, she would go deaf. So could she be Tovelis with cotton in her ear? We're going to talk about that tshuva later on as we talk about Beis HaStarim, but since we're talking about Revise now, we'll bring it up. So the Shaul said, maybe we could be Mako because of Revise. So Moshe says, no. Revise, if she always wore cotton in her ear, lest she go deaf, so then you could talk about maybe that becomes Revise. But she doesn't usually wear cotton in her ear. She only wears cotton in her ear when she bathes. So that's not Revise. Right? Revise doesn't mean if I go to the mikvah without cotton, I'll die. So now cotton becomes Revise. Revise is if I always wear cotton, and taking cotton out of my ear would cause me to die or maybe even go deaf. So then you could talk about revise. But you can't talk about it under these circumstances. If we had more time, we would talk about revise in the sugya of Zvachim, Yotes, and Big Day Kahuna. I actually think it sheds a lot of light on here. But we are out of time. So we'll go on next time with Sif Zion. For Sif Zion, I assume you've done it already, but it's very, if you want to understand all the Rishonim, there's like 10 different Shittos in the Rishonim here, you have to just make sure you deal with the Gemara well, in the Gemara Nun Zion Amud Aleph and Nida. And if you start off with the Gemara, the Beis Yosef will be a lot less confusing. Okay. Have a wonderful day. We'll pick up next week, Be'ezus Hashem.